Okay. Welcome, everybody, to the April 5th work session. We're going to start at around 5:34 tonight. Speed zone request for Smoky Hollow Road in front of Lysander Park. I had a resident come in who lives across from the park with concerns that there were variations in speed limits coming from the blinking light into the village and then coming out of the village past the park. Given the fact that we've...
Isn't it 30 right now to the village line?
To the village line?
Which is next to the park.
It's actually two lots south of the park.
Right, so what is it before that?
From Hinkle, right there, Boulevard, where the light is, to the village limits, 40 miles an hour, yeah, or in the park. Well, coming from the village out to Hinkle Boulevard, to that stop sign is only 30.
So we would just want both lanes matched up. Have a study look at having both lanes consistent at 30.
Does it say in a 30 mile hour zone on the northbound lane, but it's still 30?
No, on our thing, it had a posted sign right on our park entrance, right past the soccer field, to go, and it says 40.
So from the light heading south.
That's where it turns to 40 if you're heading north.
No,
south.
Oh, if you're heading south, right, into the village.
You're actually accelerating past the park entrance.
You're picking up speed past the park. Yeah. The resident wants us to address it, especially if we're going to
have more people
visiting. Yeah, right. Visiting. We want to try to lower that if we can.
What's the board think?
It's a good idea. Take a look. The only it should be consistent. Yeah, at least it should be consistent one way or the other.
But it's not. Yeah.
Right. But I mean, if it's 30 on one side, 40 on the other side.
How do you know where the 30 ends southbound?
I've never heard of a road in my life that has two different speedways in each lane.
Thompson Road for years.
You think it's 30 to the
Green Area Boulevard and James Street was two different speed limits.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
For years and years.
Well, especially the side of the park's on. You think the park side would be slower?
Mm-hmm. It really is two different speeds. Jeez.
I think it's something we should explore.
Okay.
Doesn't make sense though to me. But.
All right, you guys want to craft a motion requesting a speed study?
That's all you need. Yep.
And then we'll add it.
Yeah, the village line to Hinkle Boulevard line to Smoky Hollow Road.
The only thing that's going through my head is, and I support. I have supported, I can't imagine not supporting every single one of these that come across our desks, but we're getting a lot of them.
Yeah.
And are we kind of nickel and diming this approach, or is, I know we all have other things to do, but should we spend some time to say, are there other roads we might want to, you know, put a little package together to the state and say, you know, we're becoming more urbanized. We've got a lot of people here, and a lot of school kids. And here's a list of roads or do we just want to do it one at a time as the issues come to us? I mean, it's the easiest way to do it is this way. But
yeah, as they come, I think, is a good, because like I say, the park, given the changes that we've made to the park, that's kind of brought this issue up to the forefront. I mean, otherwise, we've been okay up till now, but given the fact that we added a football field, and there's more activities at the tail end of the season.
Well, maybe one of the things, and he's not here, we could ask our highway superintendent to do, and Al, and I guess this would include you as well, if not all of us, but, you know, as we're driving around, just, you know, ask yourself, do you think that this is the right speed limit? And don't hesitate to come to the work session and say, you know what?
Well, actually, that's something that we were going to do in our... We're doing a sign inventory. My summer intern this year is going to do a sign inventory for us, and that's one of the things that I wanted to
do. Oh, that's excellent.
That's in the works.
But Al, if we were to lump a bunch together and do a request to the state, aren't they going to want each road?
You have to do a form for each road. It's not like you can do one form for the six of them.
Right.
You have to do a form for each road and a resolution for each road.
Got it.
But we could certainly, it's a good idea to take a look at that data.
Take a look at it.
Because right now we don't have any data. No. pretty happy.
All right, so then we'll add an item R.
To read Henkel Boulevard to the Village.
From Henkel Boulevard to the Village
line.
The intersection of Henkel to the Village line.
On Smoky Hollow.
From the intersection of Smoky Hollow and Henkel Boulevard to the Village line.
Yep.
Heading, yeah, you gotta head south.
Let them do both sides. Let them look at it both sides.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, and when you go north of Henkel, it's what, goes up to 55?
About 40.
Oh, it is 40.
You go past the railroad track. Then it goes to 55.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
I'd like to know what the average speed on that stretch is.
It's a straight shot.
It's like 60. Yeah.
That's why 60 got its name.
60 miles an hour.
Yeah.
If you're not going 60, you're not going at all.
All right, so, all right, we'll add that, and I'll make a note in number three.
Say the streets again.
Smoky Hollow Road.
Henkel Boulevard intersection.
To the Village line.
Yeah, the intersection of Henkel Boulevard.
South to the Village limit.
The road is Smoky Hollow.
Why don't you include up to the railroad tracks?
Yeah, okay.
See what they want to do with it. It's easier than doing another review.
Yeah, do from, that's a good point, Jim. Why don't we just ask them to do from the railroad tracks on Smoky Hollow Road south to the Village line? I agree with that. Because let's face it, after you cross Henkel, everybody's
speeding up.
Everybody's putting the right foot down.
And another thought that crossed my mind is it takes signage to alert that you're changing a speed limit,
mm-hmm.
and you don't want to do that at an intersection
mm-hmm.
because you're putting signs mm-hmm. right in the intersection that are confusing.
Yeah.
So heading north from Henkel to the railroad tracks is 40, and you want them to look at 40 to
yeah.
could go to 30?
Yeah, it's possible.
And you go from 30 to 50?
Yeah.
Seems like they're ramping up from 40 to 50.
Well, after you go across the railroad tracks, the number of houses drops way off because you got the three rivers.
Three rivers.
Yeah.
And what's the stretch there? 400 yards from the, is it a quarter mile?
Maybe 300 yards from the...
Okay, yeah, that sounds good.
That's the same speed ramp up you have going out of Baldwinsville. It goes from 30 to 50.
30 to 50 for once you pass Cooper's.
West.
Yep.
Or, yeah, west.
Got that, Tony?
Well, I've got Smoky Hollow Road from the railroad tracks south of the Village line.
Perfect.
Yep. All right, the next item is protocol for use of town roads for walk and run events. Specifically, this was concerning the Earth Day race, closure of roads. Had an opportunity to meet with the event organizer today. Actually, it was a perfect storm. We had a public safety meeting, so at any given time, we had three counselors bebopping in and out, and so a lot of this was covered, and I think we've come up with a pretty good solution. Bob Ellis and I met with the organizer, and basically what we want to do is come up with a policy regarding all run walk events on town roads, and it's not specific to the Earth Day race. It would impact Kiwanis, just in how Kiwanis would
Turkey Day race
coordinate and communicate with the town, and that's basically what this whole issue revolves around: communication and making sure that everybody's on the right page and that all impacted parties understand what's going on. And Bob, I'll just let you.
Yeah, let me explain. In county parks, obviously, county parks was hosting regattas, hydroplane races, lights on a lake, major events. And the administration sat down and put together a special event license that we all went to. Hey, Tony B. Come here a second. I made you a copy. The special event license is an agreement between county parks and the promoter. And as you turn the pages, it asks a series of questions. Number one being, are you serving, selling alcohol? Are you having food vendors? They must have an Onondaga County health permit. Are you selling beer? You got to have a New York State liquor license. So it runs you down through a whole series of questions. And then there is an event setup page that talks about who is doing port-a-johns, who is doing lighting, who is doing tent setup, who's responsible, who's paying for them, a PA system, who's moving picnic tables around, what about ambulance or EMS services, are you charging and are you, you know, ticketing, are you making money at our event, that kind of stuff. And then as you go on, there's event details where you fill this out and you end up getting to a point where the last page is, yes, I have a certificate of insurance that is required and it is due by 60 days out. If you are selling alcohol, I want an alcohol permit 60 days out. I want to see your fire, police, service, sheriff's, parking. I want to see the arrangements you have for a safety plan. What is your emergency medical plan? Are you having an ambulance on site? Are you having EMTs there? What's the plan? So it sets a bunch of dates. Obviously, Tony, we can certainly modify this to make sense for Town of Lysander. But it's just a great series of questions that someone, Tony or the board, would sit with an event promoter and go down through this and have it all make sense so that it's clear as a bell who's responsible, what date is due by, any money's involved, you know, are you renting shelters or pavilions or...
Are you looking to put a committee again? I wouldn't mind chairing the committee if you wanted me to do that, if you wanted to sit on it.
Well,
do you need a committee?
Well, just here's the one thing I didn't... I mean, this was a Parks Department protocol, and, you know, senior rec leaders or rec supervisors out in the field would fill this out with the promoter.
But this is much of a codes tool as well. Yeah. I mean, Onondaga County Parks had facilities big enough to host an entire event. You know, unless we held an event in Lysander Park, like this is more for road races, and it could cover anything. And anything that wasn't applicable on it, you just put NA. So for example, a good example, the Kiwanis Turkey Day Race. It's hosted in the village of Baldwinsville. So for the most part, the village of Baldwinsville takes care of policing, although they, when the race does go out on the town roads, there would be this or something like this, something that we come up with, submitted to this board so that we know what roads are utilized, we need a safety plan, and you know, a lot of this stuff wouldn't apply, but for those types of things, you just put NA. But this way, everybody's on the same page. And the other thing we talked about was this is something that can be distributed for, let's say, the Earth Day event, the Earth Day run. Like, the fire police should be given a copy of this. The sheriffs, county sheriff should be given a copy of this so that they know if there's an emergency, who's responsible for what and who do I contact?
No, so. I was asking, like, if you wanted to put, you know, me or Jerry or see what would be applicable to put for the town of Lysander, because we're going to have to go through this and take out things for county that don't apply to us to make it applicable to us. So do you want to put a committee together for that?
Well, why don't we try to rough it out and then we'll personalize this and then give it to you and Jerry to review and maybe even Tim Woolsey to take a look at, because, you know, on here, you know, fireworks. I mean, there's nothing on here that talks about fireworks. And now we have a new permit for fireworks. It's only a year or two old. So that's something that we could add. But give us a shot at roughing a personalized one out, and then we'll give it to you and Jerry and Tim, and you guys can review it. And that could be like a quasi.
Actually, I'll come see you, and you and I can sit and thumb through it.
Okay.
Sound good?
That would help, yes.
All right, but so the goal of this discussion is to establish a policy for other events moving forward, but also specifically to clear up miscommunications that have been somewhat consistent with this particular event. And so you have before you a map of the event, a safety plan, basically of how, where people are going to be stationed to control traffic, and also a copy of a letter that goes out to every resident that lives along the route, which was good. One of the things, though, that we wanted to make sure happened with this event in particular, because there's a large county park, Beaver Lake, on the start road, which is going to be basically closed off for about 45 minutes to an hour, just because you're going to have thousands of runners running down the road. Once it thins out, the road will have access and people will be escorted in. But we stress that in order for this race to be approved next year, there needs to be a discussion months in advance with Beaver Lake to make sure that the event is coordinated properly. That it's not, the conversation isn't one-sided, and it's not an information packet that's handed to Beaver Lake, this is what's going to happen, that it's a joint discussion between the parties and all concerns are addressed. Because it seemed like the race coordinator, in his approach and in his communication with Beaver Lake, this was a done deal. The town board had acted. We had not acted. There was communication, but there was not an official action taken by this board closing that road. And so we can't have that happen again, and it won't happen again. And so with the help of this policy and the discussion that we had with the race coordinator, and actually the third part that came out of today's meeting was Bob Ellis is going to sit in with Beaver Lake, the director of Beaver Lake, and the race coordinator, and facilitate a meeting and witness the discussion to make sure that that discussion takes place and that both parties' concerns are addressed.
Excellent. Can I ask a couple of questions?
Sure.
All right. On this checklist, that this is a guide that you guys are going to
tailor it to
the town of Lysander. To the last point that Joe just raised, it seems to me that it would be a very important item to put a question: does your event / race, whatever you want to call it, impact any other parties? Potentially impact any other parties in the town of Lysander? If so, what are you doing about that? It's not up for us to wonder that Brian Reeves can't get his farm truck down Van Road. It's up to the race promoter to show good effort that he or she has contacted whoever the resident or business would be, and comes to us well ahead of time. And I want to get into the time frame in a second by answering that question. Does your event impact any business or in any way affect the traffic that normally occurs on the route? And if so, explain to us how you're going to deal with it. You know, something to that effect. That's part of this application. Secondly, Bob, maybe you can chime in here because you actually did this on a day-to-day basis, but I'm thinking, if you're going to do an event, you better come see us at least 3 to 4 months ahead of time, if not even further out. Don't expect to go through this and have your event happen 2 weeks from now. It's just not going to happen. That, you know, if you want to do an event, and let's use this Earth Day event. Back in October, he knew he was doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no reason why all of this can't occur several months in advance. I don't know if we can put a time frame, but I would say a minimum of 90 days, if not, and just make it clear that it behooves the promoter to fill this out in advance as much as possible. Thirdly, and please react to things I'm saying.
Because I know this. He sent us that letter, and in his mind, well, the reason he sent that was to share donations he had made to civic groups. And he was preparing to open up registration, and he didn't want to, he wanted to get an okay from us before he opened registration, and that was 6 months out. So yeah, you're exactly right. He knew 6 months.
Yeah, so it wouldn't hurt to say 120 days or something like that. And as long as we have some ability, there may be, there's always going to be some last minute, what a wonderful idea for this church group that wants to do this to raise money for this kid that just died. I mean, that's going to happen, right?
For sure.
And we don't want to be able to, we don't want to preclude them from doing something. But, you know, the onus is on promoters to come to us and well in advance to show that they've done their homework. I love the idea of being listed as an additional insured. Is that going to negatively impact? Is that going to be an impossibility for any of the events we know about?
No.
Like turkey trots and all that. Okay.
Additional insureds are very inexpensive.
It needs to be clear that this approval will be through town board resolution. It's not just someone's okay. It's not just the town of, it's not just the recreation department.
And let me ask you this, because I was thinking all along of Tony being the starter here. Right. If a promoter comes in 6 months out, I mean, in my mind, I was thinking you would start the process. But at some point, it's town board is approving
or denying. And on that note, does it make any sense? And I was just, you know, scribbling over here. You know, you've got during the organizational committee meeting, we have all of these committees that get set up. Supposing there was a special events committee that got set up for things like this. And the rep on those committees would be one town board member, the parks department, and the highway superintendent. And they would review these as they came in. The highway superintendent, yeah, because it's his or her roads.
Right.
He knows what's going on. You know, before you close that road, just keep in mind that we would have torn that up to repave it on such and such day. We don't know that. He knows that. And, of course, Tony, only to add to your stuff on your shoulders, but you know, you've got that perspective of recreation, and one of us town board members, there's not going to be a lot of these, maybe four or five of them a year, we sit and then we review it, and then based on our recommendations and review, then it goes to the town board, this committee, this subcommittee, so highway superintendent, one town board member, and the parks department, and whoever else you think would be appropriate. I don't think you need codes on that.
The only reason why I say codes is
fireworks.
Well, yeah, you may have fireworks and tents. I know this because the Oktoberfest, we wanted to heat the tent 1 year, and
the Department of Labor gets involved.
Oh, the Department of Labor, but you can't put furnaces inside tents, and you got to be aware of. So, yeah, just a cursory review, just to have them involved. So, yeah, that's no problem. And if you want to sit on it?
Well, I mean, whether it's me in 2018 or Bob Ellis in 2018, that's fine. But I think just what we're talking about here is coming up with something for the town of Lysander and just have it as part of our organizational meeting that there is a committee on special events.
Well, why don't we start with you, Bob, since you've already agreed to sit with.
He would be good on this. Yeah.
All right. We'll put you on the committee.
And I don't mind it at all. I told him that I'd sit on a committee.
Okay. We'll put Tim and Jerry. Because it's his roads. I mean, he's just going to be concerned about traffic flow, conditions, give you some foresight as far as if there's going to be work on it.
Damn, we're tearing up Van Road that week.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Good luck. We're oiling and stoning that week. Have fun with that.
And you always get good perspectives from those different sets of eyes.
Absolutely.
Okay. Excellent.
Do we need to do a resolution closing Van Road, allowing him to close Van Road? Or is it just okay?
No, you should. If you're going to close the road, you should do a resolution.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Set a record.
But like on that one, using that as an example, this is why this committee is going to be so good. So this promoter wanted to close Van Road for the entire duration of the race. I know that is not necessary. You know, the start of the race, absolutely. But after that first half hour, you can open the road back up. So, did he say 11:30?
8 a.m. to 11:30.
8 to 11:30, he said. But being comfortable. I mean, you can, you know, meet her for an hour or so. I mean, honestly, at 8 o'clock, there's tons of traffic coming in, getting parked.
Right. The busiest times. Should we go with what he requested? Or, I mean, he said he only needed it closed for an hour. He said, because it will be open. What he's prepared to do is use a, like a golf cart.
We've got that in writing.
An escort. If someone wants to go to the Overlook, they'll be escorted by a golf cart to the Overlook. They're actually going to have that kind of a resource available for in what he thinks is the rare event that someone goes to the Overlook during that window. So you want to just...
I would stick with his request.
Stick with his request? Okay. And then hold him to the fact that he was going to accommodate people that wanted access to this.
Absolutely.
Okay. You writing that one up too?
What's that? I don't even know the date.
Can I get a motion to close Van Road on, what's the date?
Sunday, Thursday, April 21st.
22.
Sunday, April 22nd, from the hours of
8 a.m.
8 to 11:30
a.m.
Hours of 8 to 11:30
mm-hmm.
a.m. to 11:30.
Are you reading or do you want me to read?
All right. You take care of the speed one. To accommodate what? Second annual, third annual, fourth annual?
Annual.
Yeah. Just a point of information or a question. Does anybody know, was there a race on St. Patrick's Day?
For Syracuse?
No, in Lysander.
That I don't know.
St. Patrick's Day?
Mm-hmm. That's a snowy day. Someone told me there was a race, and it was advertised. And
Do you know where?
Okay. I don't know.
Do you know where?
Somewhere out there. I don't know. I don't know. I don't really know the details. But
that's why this document would be good.
I think so.
Then we will know. Right?
And this is the kind of thing that...
Even if we're not closing a road.
Yeah, we need to know. Oh, yeah, we need to know. This is not just for closing a road. This is if you want to do an event on a town road. In fact, Joe, this... Once we get this thing kind of nailed down, that what we're doing, this is a story for you, I think, to get to the messenger saying this is going to be the new approach that the town of Lysander's take. Because everybody needs to know this. I mean, there may be some race promoter that doesn't know. I'm just going to do a race around the block and...
Yeah, I think the event that I was most impressed with was when the Syracuse Marathon, as mayor of the village at the time, the halfway point was going to be in the village, and I was impressed with the race organizer. He held a series of meetings that had all agencies involved, and I don't know if the county parks required it or if it was just, but every organization, every police department, it was a huge effort because it spanned municipalities and it was just well coordinated. So this is a good approach. And yeah, maybe we can work with a messenger and once this is finalized, getting a story out on it. Thanks. Okay. Any other questions? All right. Move on to the Wellhead Protection Overlay District. Al? You guys get a chance to read through this?
I did. So the it's really not that big of an area. I mean, it's all agricultural zoned. It's essentially from Lamson Road south to the river. Really goes from not all the way over to Wheaton Road to the west, and then to the east, kind of to Mud Lake Road.
That's not a big area.
It's not. Well, when you consider the size of the town. It's not like it's a...
That's the area of influence for the well?
Correct.
Okay.
Most of these things are already common sense best management practices. This puts a little more teeth to it from a long-term planning standpoint. It's a good common sense thing for clean water for town residents. This is a source of water for a large portion of the population of the town. I do not believe this infringes on farming in any way, shape, or form. I truly do not. I would even be open to waiving the 1,000 gallon per day maximum withdrawal for farms, just because we know that that well is influenced more by the water level of the river than what's being taken out of surrounding wells. I mean, Reeves as well will pump 700 gallons a minute. That's just west of the Doane wells and
out of the river.
No, they have a groundwater well.
They have a well?
Yeah, they have a groundwater well that they can pump 700 gallons a minute out of, and it has zero effect on the elevation of the Doane well. Emmy's has a large pond that they pump out of. There's plenty of water there to accommodate farming. It really is just best management practices for clean water. Any questions? I mean, really our next step would be to set a, fill in the draft form law. If we're gonna move forward, we'll work with Tony to do that. And then once that's done, we would set a public hearing.
Yeah, so why don't we have Tony work on that between this meeting and the next?
Okay.
And then we'll propose a public hearing
on the draft law. I'll have the county do the overlay map on our zoning as a draft, too. We really can't set the public hearing until we have the county's done that for us, because they take care of our zoning map changes.
Give me that, because I'm going to I'm going on vacation the week from today.
I got it. I only have it in PDF form, so I can give you the paper copy and I can email you the PDF.
Email you the PDF and I'll convert it to Word.
Okay.
So we can.
It's an older PDF, so it's
Yeah.
You should be able to, but it's got
like 4 weeks ago.
You'll be able to clean it up.
Actually,
do I need information to clean up?
Presentation was very helpful.
Yeah, did you guys get that?
Did you watch that?
Like,
I sent
you.
When did you sign it, Joe?
Oh,
that was definitions, filling in the town article and section.
I'll go check my email.
Article and section.
Send it both ways. Send me the.
Okay.
Copy.
You can take that one.
Okay.
And I'll email you the PDF.
Okay. And then when you have the draft, just email it to us.
The draft map and the law. Yep.
Yep.
I mean, this has been sitting since 1999, so it's not that it's it's just a good common sense thing that we should have done in 19. The planning board actually recommended that town board do it back in 1999. And
yeah, the only thing I think we should cross-reference and check is I'm sure a lot of the controls on substances that are referenced in here, I'm sure there have been updates since 1999 as far.
Well, it's like the pesticides and stuff, all it refers to is anything that you need a license to spray in New York State. So that part of it is regulated already. This is just an additional layer of protection for a water supply for a large portion of the population of the town.
And there's no loopholes where a farmer could be exempt.
Well, ag and markets will always step in if they think that something is too harsh on a farmer. But with that being said, ag and markets also values clean water very highly. So if a farmer is doing something that might affect clean water, ag and markets is going to have a hard time defending that.
Right. Yeah, the intent here is not to...
The intent is not to hinder farming.
Farming.
The intent is to have farmers use best management practices so they're not affecting the
It actually protects farming. So in the future, down the road, if there was ever a zone change in an area for a type of business, if it was in the wellhead protection area, I mean, there are certain things that just flat out aren't allowed, certain types of operations. Mm-hmm. So if anything, it'll help protect that area. So just refamiliarize yourself with it, and when you guys have that
we'll
draft.
The final, yeah, because it's just a form. Tony's looking at it now. It's just a form law that Rural Water put together.
Okay. Good deal.
All right. Now the other thing, there has been a pickup truck parked in the employee lot here for the last couple weeks, anyways.
About a week.
Well, it was last week too when they
I think Friday stripped off
your light.
Yeah.
So this was one of the old pickup trucks that was in highway. It's been replaced by the newer trucks. It's a hand-me-down that Al could utilize in his engineering activities throughout the town. That way, Al's not putting miles on his car. We don't have to reimburse Al for miles on his car. It's just a vehicle that we already have. The only question I've got, and I probably should have had this answered before this point, but when David's here, I guess we need to declare it surplus in highway, which Jerry's comfortable with. He drove it here.
Yeah.
And have it transferred to the engineering department as an asset in the K account.
Yep.
I just don't know the proper procedure.
It's not anything urgent. I mean, my big thing, so when I send our intern this summer out to do the sign inventory, I want him to have a vehicle with a light on it. I want it just for roadside safety stuff.
When he's parked in the road inspecting a drainage area.
Yeah, or he's taking a GPS point for a sign. We want to have a light on, be able to have a couple cones in the back to put out to just good common sense
safety.
So I have to ask the question. I think it's a great idea, but I guess I'm scratching my head wondering. So, and it's water over the dam, I get it, but if this pickup truck existed, why did we have all the issues with the prior superintendent saying he had to use his own personal...
One.
What's that?
He wrecked his other one. He wrecked the brown Ford.
The crew was using this.
Yes.
Okay.
And so there wasn't an extra truck for him to drive around.
So why isn't the crew using this one?
Because we have
the new one.
There's two new ones. Okay. The one that was wrecked in
Replacement.
That makes sense. Well, she's rusty and trusty, but she can hold a lot.
5 years from now, are we going to have to replace it and buy you a new one?
Maybe we can get another Amy down.
I mean, the village does this and with the police cars.
Yeah, yep. Code drives them.
Yeah, codes. And actually, Steve, Dark Angel, drives a Ford Focus around. Is it a Focus?
Escort,
it's a,
isn't it?
It's an Escort. It's the smallest Ford I think they make.
Made, right?
Yeah. They make an Escort. But yeah, that was originally supposed to be. I think that was supposed to be a Code's car.
But it's just
a hand-me-down. Yeah,
sure. It's just a safety thing.
It wasn't worth trading in or selling. Well,
just, we wouldn't get any.
Box is gonna fall
so,
off.
I mean, actually, yeah. The tires are worth more than the car.
It just had a bunch of front end. It had new ball joints, tire rod ends put in it. It had new tires put on it. It did just blow a brake line on me the other day. so she's a little rusty, but Jerry said he would have his guys go through the brakes for me and get that sorted out and make it roadworthy and safe, so she'll pass inspection.
So if the board's fine with that?
Absolutely.
Do we have to put a motion in declaring that surplus to transfer?
I don't think no, because I think we can just, it hasn't left.
Hasn't left the town.
My only concern, though, is that it's a highway asset. It was bought by highway. No, it was not. Yes, it was.
But any expenses? I have a mileage line item in my budget. Any expenses for that truck, fuel, repairs, would come out of that line item rather than highway. So we're not expending highway funds by using it, and quite frankly, the highway department was going to...
Yeah, no, it, my thinking, it's just formality. It's an asset that's coming out of highway.
Dave would probably know best.
Yeah, that it has to be recognized, and it has to be given to your department.
Yeah.
But we'll figure that out.
I was going to say, it's not... I mean, we don't technically have to act on it tonight. We can act on it in 2 weeks, figure that out.
No, yeah, this should be... We'll figure it out. We might take another motion. We're running out of letters.
Well, that's where I was going. We got quite a few motions already. Why don't we push it 2 weeks?
Going to the alphabet here.
Let's get it square with Dave, and then we'll... If we have to,
rather than add it at the last minute, we can do it in 2 weeks. Not a big deal.
Okay.
So we're just going to table that.
Yeah,
we get a good answer.
Colleton Point Sewer District Extension. You all got the letter from Mr. Matt Decay. He owns two parcels that front Cold Springs Road that are south of Talamore. Talamore actually ran a manhole to the south property line that's actually on Mr. Decay's property. The lot in back, that's an existing lot that has a horse barn on, he's going to build a new house on, and his mother-in-law is moving into the house in front that he owns on 370. He would like to both of those houses to be in the Collington Point Sewer District to discharge to the existing manhole from Talamore that's on his property. This cleans up a lack of easement for a manhole that's technically ours, that we don't have an easement around. He will pay for my time and Tony's time for the map plan report, Tony's time for the district work, and just through escrow, and it cleans up an easement problem that we have, and it puts two more users in the Collington Point Sewer District.
So you'll craft that by next meeting?
Yeah, I mean, it's a simple one. That's a really simple one. It's just I got to get pull his deeds from the assessor's office, so I have the legal descriptions, and yeah, that's a simple one.
Okay.
And yeah, and then the first step is obviously just setting a public hearing.
Yep.
So the next meeting, I'll have the map plan report prepared, and then guys can set the public hearing.
Yep. Angle Broom. So Jerry. And actually, I brought this to Gene's attention last year to see if he wanted to add this implement. And he thought it would be nice, but thought that there was other things that we could spend money on, and then those things never really entered into the budget. Jerry says he got a hot deal on a brush that would go on to, it would fit onto the Bobcat that would assist us when we do mill and fill projects.
Any project where we get dirt on the road, it's quite frankly, it'll work better for cleaning up actual dirt and spoils, sure, than our street sweepers do.
Jerry was hoping to use the money that he saved when he went and shopped out those trucks.
It cost us $4,400.40. Replacement brushes are $673.64. This is the type of machine that,
if used properly, you
should get 5 years out of those brushes easily. So
how come we haven't had one for all these years?
I'm
not the highway guy.
I'm not the highway guy, but I can say that Gene had. I don't know why. I really don't.
We have street sweepers.
We've used street sweepers. We've even had the village come in.
We're supposed to sweep every mile of road in the town twice a year by our MS4 standards.
Will this do that job too?
This is not.
No.
This is for construction cleanup.
This doesn't pick up.
Yeah.
This is for sweeping the yard.
This is for, so like if you mill a road, this will sweep all the millings into a windrow so you can scrape them up with a loader, put them in the truck.
It just makes the, it's a cleaner.
It's an attachment.
Yes.
To the Bobcat.
It's an attachment to the Bobcat.
It's a tool.
And this is not something that we could buy with the village of Baldwinsville and the town of Van Buren.
They have a Bobcat. I don't know if the village has a sweeper.
Don't they have one that goes on that little Volvo loader? I thought they had one that went on the little Volvo loader.
Yes, they do.
They do. They have one that goes on the little Volvo articulated loader that they use for sidewalks.
That Volvo is short. Nice. It's not going to be out very long.
Well, yeah, but that's, I know that's what they have one for that.
I mean, it's not that expensive. I mean, maybe we should just buy it, but I can't.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what, though. That might be something we could, the village has a Bobcat. We have a Bobcat.
I don't know. Is it the same attach? I don't know. Do they have the quick attach? Theirs is older, right?
I don't know.
Bobcat's significantly older than ours. Ours has the quick attach. So it's all hydraulically controlled, the bucket attachment. You press a button, it takes the bucket off. You pull up to the
broom,
press a button, and it locks back down on the attachment. And that was changed on skid steer early 2000s, mid-2000s, something like that. They changed that mounting assembly.
Well, it'd be worth investigating.
Yeah, we'll check it out.
Okay. I mean, you're going to use this thing every week. I mean, a couple of days a week. No, you probably want to own it, but if it's only going to get used, you know, for this week, and then it's going to sit there for 3 weeks.
Well, I can see it being used all summer at construction sites.
I'll be perfectly honest with you. Our sweepers are high maintenance. And by high maintenance, I mean we spend a ton of money keeping those sweepers running. Something we should really look at long term is potentially, you can rent a sweeper for $3,000 for a month.
You can hire a company to sweep for you.
You can. It's a lot. You know, you put an operator in it and it pushes your cost up to like $70 an hour. Mm-hmm. But you can rent a sweeper truck for $3,000 for a month. We should rent one in the end of winter and before we go into the fall and do all the roads and let them do the maintenance on it. Because sure. I guarantee you, we're spending easily $3,000 on both of those machines every year.
That's a great example. They're complex machines.
Especially how they use that outside brush. They grind that brush to clear curbs.
Our highway crew thinks it's a good idea to cut shoulders with a street sweep. that's what they do with it.
Nice straight edge.
They're
all right. Well, we'll look. We'll check with the village and see if that's something that they want to split with us. If it's not compatible, then it's a non-issue. But
sure.
we'll bring that up on the next meeting. Kentwood Senior Center bathroom. I had an opportunity to go to Kentwood's this morning and attend the meeting. It's been years since I've gone, so it was.
I thought you were going to say I had an opportunity to go to the bathroom.
I had an opportunity to go to the bathroom there, but I haven't been there in years, so it was good to catch up with everybody. And the village put in for a CDBG grant, the same type of grant that we're trying to apply for the spray park. And they're pretty successful in acquiring grants for that facility just because of what the purpose that it serves. Steve got surprised a little bit by the requirement of doing an asbestos inspection on the bathrooms. He didn't think that there was asbestos in there. They asked him if he would attest to it. He said no. So they did a study, and it was $1,600. And they found asbestos in the tile. So now to take advantage of the funds and the grant, they have to spend $10,000 in asbestos abatement for the two bathrooms. Now, Claude over in Van Buren and his board agreed to come up with $3,000 towards that. If we would come up with $3,000, the village is going to put in $3,000, and Canton Woods today passed a motion allowing an expenditure of $1,000 out of their reserve to make this happen. So, you know, we have an agreement with the operation of, towards the operation of Canton Woods. Actually, the fact that the village is willing to put towards this and isn't asking the towns to split it completely is admirable, because they don't really necessarily have to. And Canton Woods just happens to have the money, and they want some skin in the game. They want to show that, you know, this is a worthy project for the facility. So I think it's a reasonable request to have two bathrooms that are used very often next to the rec room improved. They're in need.
Well, why not a four-way split? Canton Woods is sitting on a nest egg that is it's what it's there for. It's a rainy day fund. I forget how much it is. It's like, I don't know, 60 or 70.
I think it's 50.
50. I mean, this is exactly the type of thing, and they're putting up 1,000, but why not make it 25 apiece? I guess I don't understand why Canton Woods is not coming up with. They have the money.
Well, you know, it's I don't know that fund, how it was established, and
how's it get built up?
It gets built. It has been built up on unexpended funds and fundraising. I think they do
donations.
$16,000 a year.
We got to give a pretty sizable donation a few years back when they passed.
Yep. So I don't know. I would be comfortable with the $3,000 out of our buildings account, because we were able to save some money through a grant that we received, that JCAP grant.
Is there any other work Canton Woods wants done this year, or is asking for? Or is this going to be it?
This is it.
Okay.
You know, and I hear you, Bob, but the difference of $500. You know, I think everyone's got skin in the game. Baldwinsville is a municipality who doesn't have to put up anything at all, and was even willing to front the money until next year's budget if the board was more comfortable budgeting $3,000 in next year's budget. The village would front the money to accommodate the project now if we needed more time, but we have the money. We have $3,000.
Yeah, I don't want to sound stingy, and I think it's definitely a partnership or a mutual agreement here, but it is the village of Baldwinsville's building. So what do you mean they don't have to do it?
In the agreement on capital improvements, it really falls onto the towns, if you read the agreement.
Yeah, the village does day-to-day maintenance, and by that agreement, day-to-day maintenance improvements, large capital improvements are supposed to be split between the towns.
And there's already a match requirement for CDBG, so they're already putting in, so village residents are already putting in the match towards the CDBG money. So, you know, I think this was a situation that popped up on Steve. He's usually pretty good on making sure he's not surprised by anything.
It's age of the building.
It's an old building.
Yeah, by commercial building code, I think it's 81 or 82, someplace in there. Anytime you do renovations in a building, commercial building, over than that, you have to do an asbestos survey.
And you always find it.
You do, because, I mean, sure. it was so prevalent in almost every construction material prior to them. I mean, almost every construction material had some asbestos in it.
Tile. Asbestos.
Yeah. Insulation, tile. Drop ceiling tiles had them. Yeah, everything.
Siding.
Yeah, everything had asbestos in it. Just about water.
Spaghetti.
Asbestos concrete water pipes.
All right, so Bob made it, you know, a request. I would be comfortable with a $3,000. I don't know what the rest of the board thinks.
You want to do that tonight, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, just we don't have to do it tonight. I mean, the village gave us a year to decide on it if we wanted, but it's a relatively speaking, small request for a facility that is moving ahead with a project.
I'm okay with it.
I'm okay with it, and like you said, I don't want to quabble over $500.
I feel comfortable with
Everyone's got skin in the game, some more than others even, so that's good.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the Canton Woods reserves are really for people that use the, you know what I mean, they're for recreation activities, that type of stuff, for the people that use it.
Is that well, tea?
What?
Tea?
Yeah, we're up to tea. Holy cow, I'm running out of... Motion to...
Contribute. To the Canton Woods Bathroom Renovation Project, asbestos removal.
$3,000 towards the Canton Woods asbestos removal the bathroom improvement project.
Open her up, Bob.
What's next?
So this is the property at the intersection of Oswego Road, Route 690 and Church Road, north of Church Road. Large commercial parcel, the other side of Church Road is a large commercially zoned parcel. On the west side of 690 is a commercially zoned parcel. Gentleman bought this from Judy Church a few years ago, wanted to build his house on it. He has his home on lot 2 existing. He actually runs a small hardscape landscaping business out of his home right now. He wants to put his business on this parcel adjacent to the existing commercial parcel. This was already previously commercial. He wants to be able to expand his business on this parcel and do more retail type operation where he'll have customers coming in and out.
What's the zone here now?
This is all commercial.
Yeah,
right now this is agricultural.
So he wants to change the agricultural to commercial?
Yes. And he actually requested this to come become agricultural so that he could build his
house. I remember that.
Yes.
Did he do like a year ago?
No,
or
it was
2 years ago.
Six or seven years ago.
I do not remember that.
It's like right. The process started right before I came here.
His business is called Flat Rock.
Yes.
It's contiguous. It's not spot zoning.
Yep.
It's not spot zoning.
It was already zoned that previously.
Makes sense.
I'm comfortable with it.
What's this?
This is timbers. This is the surveyor.
He's not changing lot lines.
This is an existing lot.
Yep.
And he wants a zone change which area again?
This lot.
That's that, three.
Yeah, because his house is on
he
lot
He lives two. Here. There's a house there. This lot number 3, he wants to change back to commercial.
Does he own the house in the rectangle?
He does not.
He does not.
Does that neighbor know what's going on?
Well, they'll certainly get a letter in the mail if we move forward.
Okay.
If we allow him to move forward with the zone change request.
Okay.
If you talk to him, it would be nice for him to talk to them ahead of time.
Yeah.
And see if they...
We can certainly write him a letter and let him know that.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
You said back to commercial. It was commercial?
Yep.
It was.
And you can't build a residential house on a commercial lot.
Okay.
So he has to change the whole thing to agricultural so he can build his house.
Okay. And now that his house is built.
His house is built.
Now he wants to,
expand his business.
Now he's got a business.
It's the American way.
Yes.
He can change his mind.
It's a swamp back here.
Yep, there's wetlands. There's wetlands. Right. Yeah. You can see the wetland limits.
And this is agricultural?
Yep.
He doesn't own that.
He does.
Yes, he does.
His house is here.
Because you can't build a house on commercial land.
Okay. So, and they just have this little sliver here that the Haskin family?
Yep.
Yep.
It's actually more than a sliver. That's a couple acre lot.
Yeah.
Or an acre lot, I think it is, actually.
No, that one's 4.
Yeah, right. About an acre lot.
So, yeah.
Yeah, as long as, he should talk to those neighbors.
Yeah. Yep.
Those are the only ones that are, relatively speaking, impacted. So.
Yeah, is there anything across the street? There's no houses over there, is there?
Farmland.
Okay.
That house would be
put it on the agenda for...
Yeah, it would be on the, in the 2 weeks, what we would do is refer it to planning board and do a seeker and set a public hearing date. So it would be 3 resolutions.
Planning's doing the seeker?
No, we would do
the
seeker.
We would do because we're doing the zone.
Board action.
That's right. Okay.
But it's a short form. It's a simple one. And this is you'd have to go through the local law procedure. We could actually, this would work in nicely. We could try to advance this on the same timeline as the Wellhead Protection District overlay and only do one map adoption.
So... Someone is going to talk to that family, though.
I'll write him a letter.
Go to county planning?
Reach out to them.
Yeah,
county planning. So 4 resolutions when we move this forward.
Okay. Is the board comfortable with that?
Absolutely.
I am comfortable with moving further forward with that. I would like to know what that property owner, the neighboring property owner, thinks.
pavement management plan.
Thank you.
You want to do that without Jerry? Are you?
Jerry said it was okay. This is not final. Our common.
All right.
These are the roads we've selected. You can see the surface, what the existing surface type is, what our proposed repair or work is for the project. These numbers are estimates right now based on county bid. We have done our own RFP for hot mix asphalt again this year, hoping to significantly beat the county bid price again.
So it's just us? Did Liverpool get involved?
No, just us and Van Buren. I mean, the village did their own thing ahead of us for some reason.
But did Liverpool? Because Liverpool wanted to jump to piggyback on as well. But you already submitted with just us and Van Buren?
Yeah.
All right, so we'll see what we get. They could always piggyback. But we probably would have benefited.
Well, I don't know. It depends on what they... So contractors view that differently. So I group these into different types of roads. So I've got our roads with concrete valley gutters. They're easier for the contractor to do. You typically get a better price for them. I've got our roads that don't have any gutters or any tip-ups separate, and I've got one road, our Mercer Street Road, which has a tip-up in it separate. So we'll probably get three different rates for all of those different road sections. That's where we're at on that. These are the roads we're looking to do. We have the three guide rail projects, Rabbit Lane, Dingle Hole, and East Patrol on there. East Patrol has expanded some. The way the west side of the road drops off, there's no spot to put a guide rail anchor in. So we're actually gonna have to extend that about 100 feet down to where the back slope is suitable to actually be able to anchor the guide rail. So that $7,500 number is probably going up to closer to 15. But you can see we're $13,000 under our budget with these numbers right now. And like I said, I anticipate the hot mix numbers to go down once we get our bid results back. And they are due back on the 17th.
Just semantic, did you use the word guide rail repair purposely? Like, and I obviously I'm familiar with Dingle Hole Road, but I would call it guide rail installation.
Nope.
There's nothing there to repair.
No, there's the guide rail there.
No, there ain't. Not on the culvert that I'm talking about, that I know about. Isn't there one, Jim?
No, we did some.
What you're talking about.
The one
closest to your house, the one by that drains Dingle Hole.
No,
Road.
This isn't. Yeah, this,
I don't know of anything there.
That's not the one. So there's further north on Dingle Hole.
You're talking about repairing that one?
That one is, I could kick it over, quite frankly. So they used 4-foot posts and they put them in at a 45 degree angle, and it's set at 32 inches above grade. So like somebody with a small car, if they hit that guide rail, it would take their A-pillar out and do a wonder on their teeth.
Okay, so I agree that you should repair that guide rail. I'm not a highway guy, and the only road I know, and the reason this whole guide rail thing came up is because there's just as much of a serious situation on the culvert south of that, a third of a mile south of that.
It's not nearly as steep of a drop-off as the one, this one.
Sure.
This, okay.
Go out and look. I mean, right now, if you fall into it, you're going to fall into 4 feet of water.
I'm on the road, guys. I'll check it out.
So I guess what I'm hoping for
is... We can certainly do a guide rail analysis, warrant analysis for that, Bob.
Here.
Because that was...
All right, is this what we're talking about? This is a lot of guide rail.
The culvert was just put under that road.
Yep.
It's a 4-foot, at least a 4-foot culvert.
Is that it?
That's the existing culvert, yes.
All right.
This drops off 6 or 7 feet.
Oh, I know. I'm not telling you either or. I'm telling you that I'm suggesting we got to do both. Because you've got a situation that, again, I'm speaking as a non-highway engineer guy, but
we can take a closer look at it.
You've got, if you fell off the side of that road, you'd fall 3 feet before you hit the water.
And then you'd hit 4 feet of water this time of year.
Well, this one...
Can you dismantle and reuse guide rail?
We're reusing... All we're doing is new posts. We're doing 7-foot posts so that they have proper embedment. I mean, those posts are 3 foot, 10 inches long, and the guide rail, the bottom of the guide rail is at 32 inches out of the ground.
So it's just... And Bob, your concern was the one further south?
My concern is all of them, Joe, but I just don't want to have one further south like that out of the equation.
Used to be a big gully. Guide rails on both sides. Mm-hmm. They have filled that in. And there's really no need for guide rails there anymore.
Yeah, we can look at it. That's why I'm just buy new anchors and maybe replace it. Yep.
So the one next to Jim's house, I mean, there's just the pipe.
Yep. It's the four slopes of the ditch there aren't nearly as steep as where the
other one was.
The other one is where the aluminum arch is with the wing walls.
I mean, it looks like you'd go into a bramble bush there. It doesn't seem like a very big stream
well,
on that
other
picture.
Side,
the quite frankly, the existing guide rail that we have on Dingle Hole, you would be better off not having any guide rail at all than what we have installed. Because what we have installed, a car would go right under and somebody could die, quite frankly.
All right, so let's not have that happen, and let's address that one first.
So we're tackling priorities, and
yes, that's that one is that is
others.
One that people could die from. So
okay, but I guess again, I don't want to sound biased because I live on that road. It has nothing to do with it. I'm just very familiar with that little area we're talking about. I'm worried not only about that area, but are there other situations which to me look as serious. When someone can tell
there's
me that all you going serious? That
yeah, there's
it's a big issue.
And if it comes down to it being a big issue, then maybe we ought not to fix one of these roads or a number of these roads to fix those issues first, if it's really a safety issue. And I just would like a report to the town board saying, you know, we looked at the culvert on Dingle Hole Road. We think it's much more important to fix all these other roads before we get to that in year three. If we can all sign off on that, fine. But I'm not, you know, what I heard last year was we've got a serious situation.
This is the one we were talking about on Dingle Hole last year.
Yeah.
And you and I were on two different pages, Al, and I'm not criticizing you. And I couldn't agree with you more than the joke of the guardrails that are on the existing, culvert just south of Lamson Road. But and if you want to see it with your own eyes, go drive it. It's a few hundred yards north of Jim Staruznik's house. You can't miss it.
All right, so this is the road management plan, and maybe the board needs to understand the process in which you decided to. Obviously, we were made aware of some culverts that needed work. Mm-hmm. You know, there's
guide rail that needed work.
Guide rail over culverts that needed work. We have limited resources. We have roads that we need to keep up with. We don't want to lose a road, because if you lose a road, then costs go up significantly. I think what Bob's probably asking is he just wants to make sure that there's a very thorough analysis on what guardrail or culvert projects need
what
to be.
What other safety issues are out there?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, when we say hundreds,
it's
I mean,
that might be an exaggeration, but there's many. Yeah. There's many.
So that's the other thing that I would. Just remind everybody, you know, we're recorded here and we are an elected board and we have responsibilities to the public. So when we speak about things, we need to be accurate. And you don't want to sensationalize anything. We just want to be factual in our approach to, especially when it comes to road work and public safety issues.
Can I add one thing to the agenda when we're... just wanted an update on something.
Well. Let's pavement management plan. We're still on that. Is there anything in particular here? So if, what's your plan if there's a significant savings and we beat the county bid? Do you have backup projects?
We do. We have many roads that are in need of work. We have plenty of work. If there's significant savings in asphalt, we can put it towards other road projects. We can put it towards more guide rail. We can, there's a multitude of areas that need work.
Okay, so why don't we, since this is the recommendation from our highway superintendent and our engineer at this time, why don't we, do we need to make a motion to adopt this?
No, because we got to, Jerry's got to fill out the, is it the 284 form?
Before they expend funds.
Yeah, so yeah. We'll get that to you, and that'll be the...
When's your bid opening?
The 17th.
April?
Yes.
And then in the meantime, since this is your initial recommendation, maybe give us a backup plan or a plan B list of projects that you would put money towards.
We've got plenty of spots to look at.
I'm glad you do.
Okay.
All right, thank so you. We're going to get a comeback.
Yep. This was something that you guys had asked about, so I wanted to make sure that something.
You'll have good numbers by our next meeting.
Yep.
It would be helpful to me, Al, if you and Jerry could somehow prioritize. I know you used the word hundreds, and I appreciate you taking that back. Because, you know, however many, you know, culvert issues there may be, I'm sure we can put them into some kind of prioritization. And it's just my intuition that if any others look as bad as the one that I'm referring to is on Dingle Hole Road, we should be getting to them, because. I don't want to be dramatic, but I wouldn't want to go off the road there, because I don't think I'd get out. If there's a way you can come in with photos or, you know.
Yeah, we can do, I mean, there's a standardized procedure for guide rail warrant analysis.
Yeah, and I know we're not going to get them all done.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. Yeah,
actually, we could do a Dude Solutions.
Well, no, we'll track it. Yeah, we'll track it that way. It'd actually be a nice project that I can have my intern this summer incorporate into the sign inventory, the data collection for the guide rail warrant analysis, because it's all about ditch four slope, roadway speed, and you know, yeah.
Excellent.
Are you getting applications?
I have. I've gotten quite a few. Got one kid that looks. He's actually going to be going into his. He graduates this spring, but he's going back for his master's. Which then he's an ESF student.
A couple of years for you.
Love to keep him for two if I could. I mean, that's always the goal. Is and he's got some experience, so it'd be nice. Cool. Have him coming in Monday. I got a couple other people scheduled for next week to come in and talk. So.
Good.
Thank you for this.
Yep.
Yes.
Thanks. Nice work.
Joe, can I get a quick update on where we stand with the spray park? Or I know that there's a few community outreach events that you're doing to talk and answer questions, but just wanted to see where we're standing regarding that project.
So we've met with PTAs. I had an event, wasn't well attended at Shambhala. There was one constituent that came in. I was before Rotary, was well received. We put in a request to utilize Rotary's foundation as a 501c to run donations through. We're waiting to hear to make sure that there's no conflict there, to hear from their attorney. Al, have we heard anything from the DEC?
I've got a report ready to go. I have not submitted it. I'll get a report.
Okay. So I'll hold off on what will be very exciting information if the DEC likes our plan. We met with a vendor who's agreed to provide concrete at 25% below his cost. So on a high estimate, if you remember, on the cost estimate of the project was $40,000 for concrete. that might bring that down to 20.
A reduction of about $10,000.
Have not heard back from CDBG on whether or not we can get that project reclassified as far as inside the zone of consideration. That would be a $50,000 swing.
How long does it typically take for us to hear back from?
It's pretty quick. Okay. We'll hear by June.
June, they usually come on board.
Yep. So, cautiously optimistic there. I think we made a very good, very strong case for that project. What else? That's about it.
Okay.
We're up to 500 followers or so, which is good. What else was there?
What about annexation?
Okay. Bob brought this up this morning. So annexation, the village is kind of waiting on us. I haven't put in an official request yet. But in thinking about it and talking with Bob, there's really no reason not to move forward with that. I don't see a downside where even, let's say, a worst-case scenario that the wheels fell off this project and we, you know, there wasn't a park, spray park. The benefits of having the park integrated into the village are still there. We get on sewer and we have local police protection. So I don't know why we would hold off any longer.
Yeah, I just didn't know why we're waiting. I mean, we want to get on the sewer system.
Yeah,
most importantly.
It's an old, you know, keep in mind, I mean, before the spray park was even considered, you know, we were on an aging septic field.
Leach field.
So if the board is comfortable, I can craft a letter, send it out to you, take a look at it, and we can put in a formal request for consideration. It's pretty straightforward. It would not include the homes that are outlined by the park. Certainly those folks would have an opportunity if they wanted to annex into the village for sewer. And I would write a letter offering that to them, suggesting that they consider it. It certainly wouldn't be any part of this consideration, and it would be completely up to them.
Have we had any conversations with the village regarding this recently, or are they on board with this? Or
I haven't heard. I've spoken to the mayor a few times. I know that they've talked about this a couple of times at their highway committee meetings. So, like I say, it's really our call. It's the request is coming from us to them.
I would just hate to get to a point where, oh, we're all set to start building this spray park. Say, oh, before we do that, we got to get rid of the leach field.
Yeah.
And, oh, we got to hook into a sewer first.
So we can start that ball rolling. Tony and I can.
Why wait?
I think the letters are crafted. I think it's just been sitting.
It's kind of a form, and there's got to be a joint meeting between the village and the town.
Well, when we finally pull the trigger on it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I may have stuff already.
It starts with a request.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sounds good. Okay. Is there anything else? Dave?
No.
Do we have anything we had to talk about? Oh, I had a question for you. The highway.
Truck.
We need to transfer that asset out of highway to Al's department?
Yeah, so I don't believe we need to declare a surplus because we're going to...
We're keeping it.
We're keeping it. We would just have to do a transfer, figure out the fair market value of the truck, transfer the funds from the general fund to the highway.
Okay, so there's a value towards the truck.
There's a value of...
And we would pay the highway fund that value.
That's correct.
That's what I thought.
$100.
$5.
A dollar.
Was there anything else we needed to talk
What's
about?
What's it worth to you, Ed, pal?
Yeah, there is. I need to talk to Tony, maybe afterwards, about Pete. Yeah, remind me. Tony, don't go anywhere tonight.
Hello. Can we put on the agenda for next meeting to talk about this chicken law?
Chicken law, yes.
Farm animal law. Because we all have copies of it. I think I now understand how to do it, if we're going to do it, in a way that doesn't seem to hurt people. So if we can do that at the next work session, that would be great.
Good. Is it unfair to ask Jack to write that positively instead of negatively?
Say that again.
Is it too much of us to ask for you to write that
the other way?
Where we can have them versus not have them?
I can do it both. And the other thing to remember when you were talking, you were mentioning your concern about affecting people who have now. Hmm? When you pass a law, existing conditions are grandfathered. They stay. So they can
until the property changes hands.
The grandfathering is to the current owner.
Right.
When the owner sells the house, the next person.
So they'd be existing non-conforming.
So in other words, no one is affected today.
Okay. Thank you.
I forgot to mention that.
They're no longer.
It's all right. It bounced a lot off. Holy crap! We get a lot.
Wow.
Yeah.
We've already taken care of it over past the regulation.
Keep comments.
All right. We got 5 minutes.
We are adjourned.
Pause.